Well, let's take our Bibles and look again in Luke chapter 2 that we began last time. And I want to go back up to verse 7 and read down to verse 20 and speak with you about glory to God in the highest. We're considering here the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about our salvation began in the conception of Christ in the womb of a virgin and went all the way through to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and then his resurrection and ascension into glory. It's all part of the salvation story. There are many that will never even look at this portion of Scripture unless it's around that time that tradition has named to be Christmas on December 25th. But this is not about Christmas. This is the story of Christ made flesh. Now, just to review what we started looking at last time, we'll begin in verse 7, and I want to read down to verse 20, which is my text. Luke 2:7-20. Let's read this together. It says in verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, according to Caesar Augustus' decree, Joseph was to go back to his native town, which was Bethlehem, in order to be taxed, in order that he register, that they might know exactly the number of the population. Typically, it was just the men, as the representative of the household, that would go back to be numbered. But here in particular, we see up in verse 5 of Luke 2, he went to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. So the Lord purposed that Mary should go with him, and that with reason, because the scriptures had said there in Micah that he should be born in Bethlehem, not in Nazareth, where they were at this time, but in Bethlehem. Now here he's called Mary's firstborn because she had none before him. She was a virgin. But it's clear that she would have had others after him, because the scriptures say, speak of Christ's brothers. Now Christ, as to his human nature, was Mary's firstborn, but as to his divine nature, he's called the firstborn of God, the only begotten of God.
Maria tu ni mwana wa Maria, Yesu ni mwana wa Maria mtupi. Koma tikapita kuzimu, konka madongo sola Mulungu, ndi mwana wa Mulungu, wa moyo, wa uzimu, wa mpumpu.
Now here we see that it was necessary that Christ be born into this world as a man. The writer to the Hebrews says, a body hast thou prepared for him. He did not cease being God. He was from eternity God, but now God in the flesh. And when it says that she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, that's what you would do with a baby when it's born, being exposed to the air of this earth, to be wrapped, to be warmed. So we see that our Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world came into this world as any man would, sin only excepted. He did not have a sin nature. And it says they laid him in a manger. This was where the beasts and animals would feed, that people that traveled, because there was no room in the inn, they would put their animals in these places and feed them, and that's where they laid our Lord. This shows us to what degree our Lord went, where he was born in the lowest estate possible. And yet he who was rich, it says, yet for our sakes became poor. That's that we might, who are earthlings, find comfort and hope in the fact that here's a Savior that came to identify with the lowest of the low.
There
was a time when some of his disciples asked to know where he dwelt, and he told them that the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. When he came to this earth, it was to identify with those that were poor, that had nothing, and yet he came to be their Savior. Even though he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the very Son of God from eternity, yet on earth, he identified with the poorest of the poor, even the family in which God purposed he should be born. Here, Joseph was from Bethlehem, at least his ancestors were, and yet he had no house of his own there to go to, no relation to receive him. We don't know anything about his father or Mary's father, likely to be dead. And yet, here it was that God purposed that Christ should be born.
Yes, who had a body of Badia, Lord Saukitisa, Sumer Mone, Savane, Mugudari, Namakoka from Tazalendera, Uma Savote, Rada, and Sundinum of Futsuo, which is Bavada, the Karapojera Monte, the boy for Silam Prozambi, Samabola of the Karia Maria, Umabola Katari, and the father, Mayuake.
Reviewing here some of the verses that we saw last time. So moving on to verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, Bethlehem was a place where there were plenty of pastures where the people would tend to their sheep. In fact, if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and verse 15, you'll see that David kept his father's sheep here. So we don't need to wonder then why we would hear of shepherds here, because the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of what God had said to David, that of his seed he would raise up the Savior. What a glorious fulfillment that in this very place where David tended to his sheep, and that the Lord called him out to anoint him as king through Samuel, that many years later it would be here that this pronouncement would be made concerning that seed that God had promised him, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes, umpulumuzi amene dimbeu yoyikidwa.
So here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, we see that it was to the shepherds that this first announcement of Christ's birth was given.
Yes, kapita ku Luke chapter 2 ndimaka ejo tikuona kuti anthu oyambirira kumva zvakabata kwa Yesu.
So not only in the place where this announcement was made, but to the type of people to whom it was made, because Christ came into the world to be the shepherd of his sheep. So even there we see a connection.
Kumukuda
This message of Christ born was not made to the princes and the chief priests or even the educated men at Jerusalem, but to ones that, when you think about their livelihood, were nothing but weak and, for the most part, illiterate men. They didn't go to the schools. They tended the sheep. This fits what Paul declared in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where he says in verse 26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Here we see that God is pleased to choose and to call, even as these shepherds that no one even considered, the lowly shepherds, but to reveal in them the glory of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see how the Lord hides his glory from many that consider themselves to be wise and prudent, and yet reveals them unto babes, unto those that are of no significance. I'm thankful it's that way. Otherwise, I'd never know him. Over in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25 down to verse 27, we see where our Lord shows that God purposed it this way, that his glory should be hidden from people that think themselves to be somebody when they're not. It says, "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, he says, for so it seemed good in thy sight."
Verse kuti munazimbisira izvo kwanze unda kutsivisa ndipo munazurira zvomwe kwamakanda.
He's speaking of those in his day that were the religious leaders of the day and yet blind. Now this is a doctrine that causes people to be upset because they want the choice to be theirs. But you can see very clearly our Lord gives glory to His Father for hiding these things from those that consider themselves wise and prudent and revealing them unto babes. Babes mean those that have no care of their own. They're like babes in arms. They can't care for themselves. But he says, even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. This is the glory being given to God in salvation, that if any hear of Christ, it's God that purposed it and not a man.
If
And then he continues in verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and look at, he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him.
Ndipo palibe munthu adziwa mwana koma atate yekha. Ndi palibe wina adziwa atate koma mwana yekha. Ndi amene mwana afuna kukhulupirira.
Christ was not revealed unto these shepherds because they had any significance or importance. They had none. And yet it pleased God that it would be to them that this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be revealed. And that's true today. Who is it that will know of Christ and come to Him? Like Paul said, when it pleased God to reveal Christ in me. That's how Paul was brought to know Him. Now coming back to my text here in Luke 2 and verse 9, even as we saw last time, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now here's where men in their blindness are more curious about who this angel was rather than the one that he was pronouncing. There's a reason that the name of the angel is not given, and that is that we're not to worship angels. We're not to seek experience from the angels, but rather to hear the message that this angel would pronounce unto them in verse 10. That term, the angel of the Lord, is one that is used throughout the Old Testament as having led the children of Israel, and it was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The word angel means messenger. And so he's the messenger of the Lord. He's the messenger of the covenant. I have no difficulty myself believing that even though here was Christ in the flesh, born in the manger as a man, and yet he did not cease being God. This could be none other than Christ himself, the voice of Christ himself, declaring his own birth as the messenger of the Lord. This is what John, the apostle, wrote in John chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, no man has seen God at any time, but what? The only begotten Son, notice, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So though he was on earth as the only begotten Son of God, yet he never ceased being in the bosom of his Father. Here in Luke 2:9, it says that the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The glory of the Lord is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So all of this, even though he was on earth, being born on earth, yet he continued to declare himself, reveal himself as that very glory of the Lord. And that's why they were sore afraid. This wasn't just angels. Any angel, but it was the Lord himself. They had not yet physically seen this child that was born, and yet the very presence of the Lord in announcing this child born to them caused them to bow and caused them to be conscious in themselves of their own sinfulness and frailty. That's how it is when God is pleased to reveal Christ in any of his own. In verse 10, we see then that the angel said unto them, the messenger of the Lord himself, said, fear not, Notice, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This was not a mere angel speaking. This was the Lord himself. And again, that word behold is to catch our attention. Whenever that's expressed in scripture, there we pause and we consider. When he says, fear not, only the Lord can bring peace to those for whom Christ came into this world. And that expression, good tidings, that's where we get the word gospel. That's what the gospel is. It is good tidings, and that's what he proclaims to these shepherds. The good tidings pertain to the very salvation that this Savior, that he describes there in verse 11, came to accomplish. In the popular message today that's being preached, you can't say it's good tidings, because what men are preaching is that Christ, their Christ, came into this world to try to save sinners. And yet, it's up to them to either accept him or reject him. There's no good tidings in that message. Notice here it says in verse 10, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. In other words, it's because it's the work of God that he came to accomplish for the sinner's peace and pardon and righteousness that he came to fulfill. Therein is the great joy. When it says to all people, it's clear that that's not to every individual of mankind, because it certainly was not good tidings to Herod. It certainly was not good tidings to Pilate. It wasn't good tidings to the greater part of the Jewish nation, because it says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. It certainly wasn't good tidings to the chief priests and the scribes and Pharisees, because when they saw him, they said, "This is the heir, let's kill him and seize on the inheritance." Now here when it says to all people, it means Jew and Gentile, those that are God's chosen people from among all people, for whom God had purposed salvation through his Son, and he came to redeem and save them. I'm thankful that it is for all people or peoples, Jew and Gentile, because I'm nothing but a Gentile. I don't know as I have any Jewish blood in me, and yet it was for such as I am that God caused his child to be born in this world, and all the benefits resulting from his birth all the way through to the cross is the cause of great joy. Whenever God is pleased, as it says there in Psalm 110 and verse 3, to make his people willing in the day of his power. That's why in verse 11 of Luke 2, it says, "For unto you," that's very important, "the peoples for whom God purposed that his Son should come to this world, it was for them specifically that he is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now we know when it says, "Unto you is born this day," it's not speaking of in the daytime, because we know he was born at night. And yet the whole, this specific day, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son. This particular time, this particular place, it was for that people that God had purposed should be saved, and that he purposed from all eternity. But it was necessary that Christ come and identify with such in his birth. And you see how God purposed all things, that even the taxing of the people would cause Mary and Joseph to go to that city of David, that is Bethlehem, because in verse 4 of Luke 2, we saw that they had been living in the city of Nazareth, where Mary was with child, but now every detail had to be fulfilled. That God alone be glorified. And you can see here, he's identified in verse 11 as the Savior, a Savior whom God himself had appointed from all eternity. and had been long promised all the way through the Old Testament. So this was a much expected time from the beginning of time, and was that time now and place where God had now fulfilled what he had purposed. This is exactly what the Lord had revealed unto Joseph and Mary back in Matthew chapter 1 and verse
21.
Says there, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus means. It's the Greek name for Joshua. The Old Testament means God saves, Jehovah saves. And notice, it doesn't say for he'll attempt to save, or he'll try to save, or he would like to save, but he shall save. Who? His people from their sins. And it says there in verse 22, now this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, that is the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This was not just any ordinary Savior. This was God with us, God in the flesh, to accomplish salvation of that people that he purposed to save from eternity. I come back here to Luke 2 and verse 11. It's not just any Savior, but it says, which is Christ the Lord. The term Christ is not his name, it's his title. It means the anointed one, the Messiah. That's what Messiah means. So here's that one that was promised from all eternity and prophesied throughout all the Old Testament scriptures, who now, in the fullness of the time, was revealed, the very anointed one of the Lord, to be prophet, priest, and king of his people, the true Jehovah, the Lord our righteousness.
Monga Prumuts, Oga Prumutsa Twage, or some kid, or Jogra Pachambi, Kota Yeo, Ndimbuye wachipulumutso chapadzi wake is monga kudedzipirana.
Now here in verse 12, the Lord gives them the sign as to how they would know who this child is to distinguish him from any other child that was in Bethlehem. There were many children being born, many others born on this day. But how would they know the Christ child? It says in verse 12, this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That's very specific. Here we see an example of how God directs those that he has chosen to his son. He gives them very specific direction. Had they set out on their own, imagine having to go through Bethlehem trying to find the Christ child, they would never have found him, especially thinking that it would be in a manger, in a feeding trough. And yet, this is how the Lord purposed that they should come to Christ and see him and embrace him and believe on him.
Ando akadabwira ku Yerusalemu kwangu kuno kayangana mwanayo Yesu kadzabadwa ndikumangoenda makola ari wonse kuti aone mo Yesu koma ayi Yesu adadzika tirapo tacha kuti abwere mukolamo akaone mwanayo kuti waikidwa malo osiyana ndi malo onse kuti ali mchonjera mombe wabadwa kuti amuone namulambire.
Now in verse 13, to confirm everything that the Lord was declaring unto them, it says, and suddenly there was with the angel. That's why I say again, this is none other than the Lord himself, but a multitude of heavenly hosts. This would be all of the elect angels that are around the throne that worship and adore God and Christ every day. They were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.
Ndiyifuwa jake kuti akafuru kuzere kumone saesu kuti ndi adali wina adali mchokoleri wa mkero ni maga 30 dakuti ndipo zitizi panali pamoti ndi mkero yo kuranda uzere mkero uyo adali Yesu ndepada kwela mkero wena umtandizana nae abili mbili abulu la kumamba natamanda Mulungu nanena ulemerero kukhale kwa Mulungu wamwambamwamba timtendere pansi pano mwa anthu amene akondwera nawo.
When it says in verse 13, a multitude of the heavenly host, I see that as meaning not one angel absent. We don't know the number of angels. We know there's a great host that God has preserved called the elect angels. And yet every one of them doing but one thing, giving glory and praising God and saying glory to him in the highest. The angels aren't to be worshipped. It's this one that is their Lord that is to be worshipped, praising God on account of the birth of Christ.
Koma ndicholinga chimodzi chokalambira Mulungu chokatamanda Mulungu angelo anachita kuwasankha kuwayika padelera pa ntchito yawo yotamanda Mulungu chifukwa akadayamba kulengeza mawu amatamando ndi ulemerero kukhale kwa Mulungu wamwamba mwamba imtendere pasi pano mwa anthu amene akondwera nawo.
Even though there are many in this world that are blind and give no consideration as to who this Christ Jesus is, yet we know the angels in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And look at which things the angels desire to look into. They marvel that here it is, their Lord now should actually take on flesh. They looked into these things and wondered and marveled.
What Pedro chapter 1, the Maga 12, Adalat Sindika, Unena Puti, Wayo, Amene, Udavu Purusidwa, Puti Sana Sintumikira, Iwo Oka, Kuma Inu, Ndi Sintu Izi, Zimene Zauzidwa Kwainu, Sopano, Mwayo, Amene Akura Rikira Utenga Wabuino, Mwam Simo Yera. Wotumidwa kuchokera kumwamba zinthu izi angira atalakalaka kusuzumirapo.
These angels were not drawing attention to themselves like there are many today that are caught up with the worship of angels. No, it's who these angels declare he is to be worshipped. In Hebrews chapter 1, start in verse 5, unto which of the angels said he at any time, Hebrews 1, 5, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, this is his incarnation, and saith, let all the angels of God worship him. That's who's worshiped here. It's none other than Christ, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. Here we see very clearly that all the glory belongs unto God, as declared there in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This is where we know that God has truly done a work of grace in the heart when a sinner glorifies God in the highest. That's he's God of very God. With regard to salvation, for peace and reconciliation of his people by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how God has purposed to save sinners. All the glory belongs unto him. All the glory of all his perfections, of his wisdom, and of his love, and grace, and mercy, all of that in the Lord Jesus Christ.
ulemu wote mara madoote hizi fundo zote zake ore ulikwaiye kumenekera kulanda ulemu wose ni mara miko basi.
Glorifies God in satisfying his own justice through the work of Christ that he might be just and justified.
Ulemerero wa Mulungu udafunitsidwa chilungamo chake okwatirisa chilungamo cholungamitsa iwo ochimwa okufuna kwake kote iye nabinaine kila ulemu wose ndi matamando.
When it says, and on earth peace in verse 14. It's not peace as the world seeks peace. This world is in turmoil and tumult and has been from the fall and will be all the way to the end of time. But here it's speaking of peace with God, to be reconciled with a holy God and sins put away in the person of Christ. There is peace on earth in him. The whole world could be in turmoil and troubled and turned upside down, and yet those that are the Lord's, in whom Christ is revealed, their peace is Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. And when it says here, and goodwill towards men, that word good means God. God's goodwill towards those who are nothing but flesh. And yet God has been pleased to send a Savior who has accomplished their salvation to the satisfaction of God the Father. And thereby, they're reconciled to Him. Now, this is not just some general goodwill toward men whereby people say, well, he loves everybody. No, this is God's goodwill toward those men, those sinners that he's purposed to save. He loves them. And because he has purposed to save them, thereby they are saved. It's not in man, it's in God's will. We truly say glory to God in the highest when he's been pleased to reveal his son unto such as we are. This is not of men to have goodwill among themselves, because there's no such men that have any goodwill. This has to do with God's goodwill toward those that he's purposed to save and has saved through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To him alone be the glory. What are the way you could do it in the middle of the game?